For well over a year now, I have had one of the best blessings that's ever been given to me for all my life. I am a part of two groups of ministers from around the country that get together to share just about everything. One is a group of 25 to 30 guys from all across the country, and we get together weekly through a video conference, and we share challenges and mistakes that we've learned from, wisdom, and just about everything when it comes to ministry. And then there's a group of six of us. It's much more personal. We get together twice a year for about three or more days, and we share a lot. One of the guys in our first meeting shared what he believes is his very first memory of life. What he remembers is standing at the door of his home. His hand is extended, touching the glass. His father is walking down the steps on the sidewalk, and his father is leaving his mother and himself forever. And the only words he remembers, "Daddy, don't leave. Daddy, please don't leave." I don't know if any of you have ever had a painful experience like that. I believe that my understanding is that people have had something at least similar, either directly or indirectly. To be rejected, to be abandoned, to be left behind leaves marks the likes of which few of us can actually express, but all of us can understand. This message today is going to be a bit of a challenge. I want you to know before I go any farther that it's going to be heavy, but it's going to be okay. And I have a reason for sharing this with you today. I want us to be honest about where we all are, and especially where some of you, or most assuredly, some of the people that you know can be during this particular holiday season. I do not believe that Jesus is ignorant of any of the feelings that I'm going to describe today, any of the experiences that I'm going to describe today. In fact, we've been going through this 90 days of Jesus. We've been taking a look at the four eyewitness accounts of Jesus' ministry, life and ministry here on earth. And there is a similar experience that we find in John chapter 6. The circumstances are a little bit different, but they are nonetheless meaningful to help us to know that Jesus understands not just the things that we hope to be, but also the things that we've gone through. And the reason why sometimes, I mean, it's really hard. And it's easy to sing and shake hands and hug. But sometimes all you got left are silence and tears. God knows. He knows. John chapter 6 is quite possibly one of the most crazy chapters in all of the New Testament. You have Jesus, who is more than likely at the zenith of his influence and his popularity. People are coming from all over to listen to him, to see him. Word has spread of these amazing things that he's done. People are seeing who have never seen and walking who have never walked. And there's other things. And I didn't see him, but I heard somebody who talked about them. And we're just going to see if we can find out who this guy is and listen to what this guy has to say, because everything that I've ever heard about him is nothing short of awesome. And so people are coming, and I'm not just talking about groups, and I'm not just talking about hundreds. There are thousands of people that are waiting to listen to what Jesus has to say and see what Jesus is going to do. In John chapter 6, they're gathered around. If you have any awareness of biblical geography, he's around the Sea of Galilee. If you don't know where that is, just trust me. He's around the Sea of Galilee, okay? And he's teaching, and people are gathering around. And while he's teaching, they're still coming. And before too long, it's lunchtime. And now, all suddenly, you've got this natural amphitheater full of thousands of people, and they're hungry. And the guys that are closest to Jesus for the remainder of the day, I'm just going to call them the disciples. They what are we going to do? I mean, can't run to Stop and Shop, you know. Not yet anyway. And even if we could, we don't have enough money to buy all the bread and the food that we're going to do. So somebody, there's a mom there who saved the day. And you're going to get it real quick. There's a mom there whose boy was going to see who Jesus was. And she decided if he was going to be gone all day, she was going to pack him a lunch. All right. So she packs her boy this lunch. It's a bunch of bread and some fish. And the guys that are closest to Jesus, the disciples, say, "Hey, that boy's got some lunch over there." Thousands of people, bread and fish. Really? That's what you've got. Jesus miraculously takes that bread, takes that fish, begins passing it out. Before you know, the Bible says that thousands of people were fed during that meal. When word breaks out of what Jesus had done, and this isn't anything now that they've heard, this is something that they've seen, and they physically participated in. Now, more are coming. And now, we've gone from excitement to awkwardness. And the guys aren't really sure what to do. The disciples, later on that night, they're trying to just get away from the crowd for a little bit. They can't. Later on that night, they decide they're just going to get away, period. They jump in the one boat that was there and start sailing across the sea and going to get the other side. But Jesus is not with them. John records that later on in the middle of the night, he came to them. If you've ever heard a kind of a derogatory comment about someone that says they think they're walking on water, all right, that's where this comes from in John chapter 6. Jesus is walking on there, miraculously coming to them. They're not amazed. They're terrified when they see this. Nonetheless, they all get to the other side. The crowd wakes up. Wait a second. We know the guys left, but we didn't see Jesus. Where is he? They struggle to find him. Word gets to the crowd that he's on the other side of the sea, so they do their best wind sprint, you know, Boston Marathon perspective to get around to go find where Jesus is. When they get there to him, they go, "Where'd you go? And by the way, how did you get there?" And this is where things go sideways. In Shan's paraphrase version, Jesus says, "You don't really want to know and frankly don't care about how I got here. You're hungry and you were fed yesterday and you want me to feed you today." It was just as silent then when he said it. It's a perspective here that I think we need to really focus in on. Jesus lays it very matter-of-factly on the ground right there. They had experienced a miracle, but they only cared about the next meal. Jesus told them that they should be less concerned about food and more concerned about eternal life. Now, you and I might think that that's really appropriate right now, but if you've ever been hungry, the last thing you want to hear sometimes is a sermon. You just want the bacon. I mean, really, honestly, it's true. Jesus not only tells them that they really need to be focused more on eternal life, he tells them that what God really wants from them is to believe in the one he sent. That's him. That's Jesus. When Jesus tells them this, they kind of make a demand. Well, if you want us to believe in you, then I think you need to earn our belief. You need to prove it. We want you to do another miracle. I mean, after all, our ancestor, Moses, gave the people bread when they were wandering around. So what can you do? Jesus doesn't necessarily get mad, but he stays direct. He says, you don't know. You don't know what you're talking about. Moses didn't give anybody bread. My Father gave them bread. God did that. And God's still giving bread because he's sending me to you. And Jesus tells them that he is the bread of life. And anyone who eats this bread will never, ever go hungry again. We want that bread. That's the bread that we want. That's what we want. We want to eat and be satisfied for absolutely forever. Okay. Jesus continues. He's the bread of life, and whoever comes to him will never be hungry again. And he begins to say some of the things that we talked about last week in the discussion that Jesus had with Nicodemus. He told Nicodemus that God had sent him because he loved the world. He's telling these people that God sent him, and he wants the people to believe in the one that he sent. And whoever believes in him will have eternal life. And that he was going to offer himself for the world. You and I have heard some of these things before, but they never had. And not only are they continuing to be confused, but in some ways they're still focused on the food. Jesus doubles down on that metaphor and he says, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that has come down from heaven. There's kind of this awkward silence, I think, because they're just focused on the next meal and Jesus is focused on eternity. They're focused on this life, and Jesus is trying to get them to understand some things about the next life. Finally, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, you know, what you're teaching and the things that you are saying are really hard to understand. And the Bible says that at that point, many of those that were following Jesus, they turned away and they deserted him. They left. They walked away. Depending upon the version that you read, it says they abandoned him. They walked with him no more. While Jesus can hear the sounds of hundreds of sandals going in every direction away from him, he turns to the disciples and matter-of-factly but soberingly says, you want to leave too? It's at this point that everything in Jesus' ministry changes. Everything. His mission hasn't, His focus hasn't. His relationship with God the Father hasn't changed. But his relationship with a whole bunch of people has changed. And it can't be ignored. Now, I want you to understand, I don't think that Jesus is actually complaining that people are leaving him. But it is a turning point. Jesus is the Son of God, which means he is more than understanding. He knows that that day is not the end of his mission, and what's going to be brought about because of his fulfilling of the mission is blessed and good and right and eternal. But he's not just 100% God. He's also 100% human, which means he feels the things that we feel. He feels pain. He feels hunger. He feels disappointment. And he feels rejection. And if he feels what we feel, then he knows how we feel. And it's powerful. Today I want to talk about why people walk away from Jesus. And I want to talk about what it feels like when people walk away from us. I also want to finish up with how we still have hope and the real things that matter and how we can overcome this. I think people leave Jesus for a whole bunch of reasons. It's not because they don't like him oftentimes. It's not because they have this animus, this maliciousness toward Jesus. I think sometimes it's really not that complicated. I think people leave Jesus, number one, because it's hard to accept who he is. I mean, he said to them, "I am the bread of life. I have come down to you from heaven." Now, for anybody else, we kind of look at them sideways, like the way that our dog looks at us when we whistle, kind of weird, you know. And what are you saying? I mean, we understand that which we can touch. We understand that which we can see. And anything that we cannot touch and cannot see, we're guessing at best. I mean, that's why Trey was so good a couple of weeks ago when he was talking to you and I about faith. And remember the definition about faith is the substance, the tactile thing that you and I can take hold of. And it is the, what did he say, the evidence of things that are not seen. There's a lot in there, isn't there? But to show you the struggle that we often go through, just real quick survey here. Anybody been to heaven and come back? On purpose? No? Are you sure? Okay, I'll let you think about it for a few seconds. Just kind of go back through your history. No, of course not. The things that are earthly, the things that we can see and we can smell and we can taste and touch, we get that. But the things that we can't, we really sometimes have a hard time taking God's word for it. We trust him, but there are times that we doubt and we wonder. Sometimes people leave Jesus because they have a hard time accepting who he is. And sometimes people leave Jesus because it's difficult believing what he says. I mean, it kind of follows. If I can't accept who he is, or I have struggle accepting who he is, then sometimes it's going to be difficult believing the things that are said. He says, "The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and they are life." In John chapter 6, he writes this. They're spirit and they're life, but yet there are people who still do not believe me when I say it. And sometimes that's you and me. Especially when life is hard. Especially when life's not fair. Especially when the days aren't cloudy. They're stormy. It's hard sometimes to stick with Jesus so people will walk away when they can't accept who he is or they can't believe sometimes the things that he says. And I think also it's that people will leave Jesus because it's really hard, it's tough following to the places where he goes. Good grief. We rarely go to restaurants until we've talked to somebody who's been there. We'll pull out our phones and we'll check reviews. And we'll trust the reviews of people we've never met. Yeah, I'll go there. 4.5 stars by 4 people. Let's go. Right? But Jesus made the stars. And it's hard to follow the places that he goes because sometimes the places that he goes are really tough. Really tough. Valleys that you and I didn't even realize existed. Emotional heartaches that you and I don't wish on anyone. Jesus actually challenges you and me to think more about eternal life than food. Think about that. Right now, I'm thinking about baked potatoes with bacon. You know, the ones that are in the restaurant and the skin is always really, really crisp and they rub that salt in there. And, okay, stop drooling. And I'm thinking about donuts. I'm not being facetious. I really want you to understand. There are things in this life. I mean, if Jesus came, walked in right now and said, okay, it's time to go to heaven. Some of us would go, well, now? I mean, I ordered pizza. All right? There are babies. I mean, there are people to hug and girls to kiss and babies to hold and mountains to see and places to go. Now? Yeah. He wants us to think more of eternal life than food. It's hard. It's hard because sometimes, let's face it, we're weak. And we're burdened. And we can be fickle. I think people leave Jesus for any number of different reasons. But I also think when those people left Jesus, if you read that, it might have triggered you in some contexts. It might have really been a challenge. Because when you see that scene, it might have reminded you what it reminds my friend Nick of. In his first memory, in his hand against the glass, Daddy, don't go. When people leave, it feels like it's never the same again. Never the same. It's the empty chair at the dining room table. It's the car that's not parked in the driveway. It's the phone that doesn't ring anymore. It's the voice that you're frustrated because you can't hear it. It's never the same, is it? You wonder why. there's this hole. You can't measure it. You can't measure how wide the hole is, how deep. But you can't deny that there's a hole there. And no matter what you try to do, you just can't fill it with anyone or anything else. Because it's pain. And it hurts. And it's never the same again. John chapter 6 said, from that point on, he was never the same. When people leave, it feels like it's never the same. And also, it's just not supposed to be like this. This is not how I pictured it ending up. I pictured more people around the table. I pictured more happy people around the table. Words like deserted and abandoned and rejected and no longer here, I did not picture them as a part of my vocabulary. But this is my life now. And right now, God, it's hard. That's how we sound at times. When people leave, it feels like it's never going to be the same. When people leave, it's not supposed to be like this. And because sometimes it's painful and it hurts the way that it does, we can't get those feelings and those thoughts out of our head, and we feel like everyone is going to leave. Are you going to leave too? Jesus asked. Any relationship that we have at this point on, we're always worried. We were abandoned once. Are they going to leave us? We were rejected once. Are we going to be rejected again? It leaves a mark. It can be really painful. And any scar that we have, scars aren't supposed to feel, but they feel. Oh, they feel. I'm sharing these things today because very shortly we're going to begin what is a season in our culture that is so full of tradition and memory. Lights and meals and songs and pictures and colors are everywhere. And I want you to know that there are people right now who are sitting in this room, and there are people that you know, that you work with, that you live next to, that you talk to all the time, that are dreading this time that's coming. Not because they don't want to be happy, and not because they don't want you to be happy, but there has been pain in their life, and they just don't want to put up the tree. They just don't want to put the lights up. They know God loves them, but they're trying to figure out how. It's that hard. It's that burdensome. It's that heavy. This is real. And sometimes we all know that we have to love people when they know they're not lovable. And we have to love people without even understanding how, what words to say or what to do. So I want you to know that if you know someone who feels like this, or if you feel like this, on Saturday, December 7th, in this room at 6 o'clock, we're going to have a special service. It's called Blue Christmas. It's not going to be decorations and lights. It's not going to be Christmas carols. It'll be candles. It will be scripture. But it'll be a time where it's okay to grieve. It's okay to tell God, I'm having a hard time, God. I don't understand. This doesn't make sense to me. I love you, but I just don't know. And I want to pray to you, but I don't know what to say. And I'd love to be able to sing again, but I just can't. That's okay. It's okay if the person that you're grieving died last week or last decade. It's okay if the divorce happened last month or 23 years ago. It's okay to say, God, I don't get this. I don't understand why they left. It's okay to say all of those things. Because he already knows what happened. He does. He already knows what was said. He already knows how you feel. But he also knows how to help you. Because it doesn't just end at Blue Christmas. One of the most encouraging things is the end of the chapter. Jesus says, do you want to leave too? And did you hear Peter's reply there? Peter says, well, where are we going to go? Who are we going to go to? Lord, you're the one that has the words of life. We may be overwhelmed. We may be discouraged by people walking away, but we're not leaving because you are the one that gives us the hope that we have. You're the reason why we are where we are and we can do what we can do. Why? Because we believe and we know that you are the Holy One of God. It may be dark. It may be hard. And I hate to mimic an old black preacher, but the light's coming. It's okay. Go ahead, grieve. Tell God you don't understand things, but God can help you understand things. It's okay. Tell God you don't feel that great, but God can help you feel better. We just got done singing. What did we just get done singing? And I love to hear when you sing, but what did we sing? He's what? Leaving me? No, he's running after me. His goodness is running after me. I may be in the pit of despair, literally, but he's running after me. He never leaves. He just won't. He loves us so much and cares for us so much that even when it's ugly and even when it's hard and even when we don't get it and even when it's not fun, he's still there for us. He never abandons us. He never forsakes us. He never leaves us because God is so good. He's so good. Sometimes we think that Jesus isn't enough. We do. Because we'd rather have the baked potato and the donut. To be honest. But it doesn't take too long to realize that those meals fade. And Jesus is enough. He's more than enough. So when it's hard, and when you're kind of all by yourself, and you're not sure if you're going to be able to get through the day, I write it down, put it on your phone, make a voicemail to yourself so that you can hear yourself say, Jesus is enough and God is good. Because when we've got no place else to go, he's there. And he blesses you, he blesses me, he takes care of you, he takes care of me. And he understands our pain. If you know someone who is going through the kinds of things I've described, tell them about Saturday, December 7th. I don't know whether we're going to have 3 people or 30 or 300, but I know there are people that are hurting. I know there are people that are hurting and sometimes are afraid to talk about it, but you can. Because this really, in helping people find and follow Jesus, it means helping people find and follow Jesus who are really hurting. And they sometimes forget that God's been there all along. Father, thank you so much for the hope that we have in you, even hope that sees beyond our pain, hope that goes beyond our burden. Folks are so overwhelmed, God. Help them when they don't know what to say when they pray. Help them when they can't find the strength to sing anymore. Help them when they have fear about who's going to be there and who's not. Help them when the pain of that empty chair is more than they can handle. God, you say over and over again that you are always there with us. And we know it's true, but sometimes we just don't feel it. Forgive us when we're weak. Forgive us when our hearts are heavy. Forgive us when there are things that we remember that we thought we'd forgotten. Forgive us when we try to forgive, but at least in that moment, it's just hard. Help us, Lord, to remember your goodness, to remember that you are always faithful. There's no day that's too long. There's no night that's too dark. There's no pain that's too deep that you can't overcome. We are so thankful that our hope is not just in one more holiday meal, but our hope is in the one who came to love us, who said that he is the bread of life. Oh God, thank you so much. Thank you for loving us. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.